Hello, and welcome to this episode of Pints and Pairings. I am Curtis Taylor, also known as Hop It Said.
I'm Jason Hendrick with Everybody's Hungry, and Curtis, I love your structure for that opening. You're always like, this is Pints and Pairings. I feel like we should have some big booming music in the background.
I spent my childhood growing up watching 60 Minutes and always being confused why that, when the second hand hit the 60, why it says 60, why isn't this show over? And then every, whatever it was, 5 or 10 minutes, having to listen to him say, I'm Walter Shaw, I'm Marley Safer, I'm whoever, whoever, and this is 60 Minutes.
You can't wait for Andy Rooney?
So that's where I'm getting it.
You gotta love the eyebrows.
This is Pints and Pairings.
It's excellent. I'm excited about this. This is our second episode of the St. Archer Flight Night, and we're going to be featuring Pale Ale in this segment, so it's going to be a fun one. We got some really cool opportunities here as well. Nancy Peterson over at Sunflowers on the Square in Ventura, California has supplied cookies, and we're going to try to implement a couple of these cookies on this episode. If they don't work in this episode, there's two more to come with St. Archer's Flight Night, so we're going to hit Nancy's cookies and St. Archer beers at some point during the night.
We're going to find one of them that works.
It's going to work. Out of 5 or 6 cookies and 4 beers, one of them is going to work great. Also, if you have questions, you have feedback, you want to tell us your pairings, use hashtag Pints and Pairings when you're on Twitter or on Facebook, or hashtag Beer Suggestioneers, because that's us, you and me.
That is us.
And that's how we're going to get your feedback. As well, you know what we didn't mention in the last couple episodes? You can also email us, though. If you really want to get down and crazy, email Curtis at hopheadsaid.com.
Don't
flood his inbox. But actually, we do want your feedback, so get a hold of us that way. Again, you said we're going to be talking about this little pale ale over here, right?
Yeah, so, you know, this is, guess what? It's a pale ale from St. Archer Brewing Company. St. Archer is a brewery in San Diego, California. So not only is this an American pale ale, but this is a Southern California.
I like to consider that local. My in-laws are in San Diego. My wife is from there. So I like to think that this is
your home?
My home brewery.
There you go. It's a hometown brew. I can understand that. You know, already there's just a bunch of hops. There is a, but it's not the usual hops that was expecting. I was expecting some citrusy kinds of hop aromas.
No,
it's a more earthy tone.
Almost a little peppery. It almost reflects a little bit of a rye aspect to me.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
So I'm getting better, Curtis. Hanging out with a Cicerone has its benefits.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I'm looking at them too. And you know, there's Crystal and Munich malt in there. And I'm looking real quickly. It's full of Cascade, Chinook, and Simcoe. So, I mean, I should be getting hit in the face with these West Coast hop aromas. And it's not there. They're mixing to become they're mixing together, becoming something greater than, you know, when somebody says it's greater than the sums of that. That's what's happening here. They've come together.
And we were going to hold off a little bit on the food. We're going to try to get through some great characteristics of the beer first. But for me, there's a little bit of a sesame and shiitake or enoki mushroom coming out in the nose.
Mm.
Like if you were sauteing with a little bit of sesame oil and some great fresh mushrooms, especially in exotic style.
Mm-hmm.
It just comes out. Maybe I'm way off.
You're never off, and that's something that we haven't pointed out in a long time, that when we're talking to beer people, and we've certainly come a long ways, we meet people who say, oh, you don't want to know what I know, or I'm wrong. They lead off right away. I must be wrong, or don't listen to me, those kinds of things. No, you taste what you taste, and you make your connections that way. And it's by talking with other people that you maybe draw a connection that you didn't have before. And I wasn't quite sure about, the mushroom wasn't hitting home with me. I was thinking more English kinds of hop flavors and malt flavors together. Now, the website says it's a California-style pale ale, but this is coming in at 5.2%. And so this is what a pale ale is supposed to be. And sure. And I have to remind myself that we have come to a point to where pale ales are now IPAs. IPAs are double IPAs. And double IPAs are just crazy hot bombs.
Eventually we're going to have a home run.
Yeah, and so this is it's a nice, it's a really great change of pace.
I have to tell you though, I must be in some kind of Asian food mood for this segment, because also on the palate, I'm getting a little bit of like a bamboo shoot. And my mouth is craving like a fresh clam or hotake style sushi bite. We're getting some of that really beautiful sushi rice, a little bit of a sweetness, but the typical, you know, rice aspect, but also that little bit of a earthy, briny clam. I don't know. I must just be really wanting to go out for sushi. Can we order in?
Sure. Why not? It may not get here until we're
But even done. In the nose, there's a little bit of that pickled ginger.
I'm wondering, too, how much, because I just took a bite of a lemon glazed cookie, and then I also took a bite of the snickerdoodle. Is that what that, with the cinnamon?
Correct.
And I'm wondering if that...
Do you think we're getting influenced?
If that influenced just a little bit and brought this... And enhanced the bitterness coming.
You might
from
be
the
right
hops.
Because I had a little bit of the same snickerdoodle and the same lavender limoncello cookie with icing on it. So we may be inadvertently kind of manipulating the beer here, but it's in a fun way because it's really kind of changing what we would think the profile should be.
Definitely,
but not for the bad. I mean, it's a delicious beer. I mean, the bitterness is still coming out in a very pleasing way. It's not overpowering. It's not astringent. And I like it. That's all I can say. I like it.
That's all that, and that is it. That is all I will say. Well, I'm trying to think of, you know, of course you've got all of the usuals, the fish and chips, the burgers. You could even go pizza on this one again. But I like your mushroom angle and taking it to something that we don't talk about very often is mushrooms in pasta sauces, and I'm not thinking of a red sauce. I'm thinking of a cream sauce,
or even like maybe a garlic butter,
and
keeping it
with a nice dose of pepper to kind of play around with the
you got
to
go
notes.
Fresh ground. If you're talking pepper, you got to do ground peppercorns. They're the most vibrant, and I think they offer the most true essence of what black pepper should be.
Well, I don't know if I'm quite there with you on and being able to tell the difference on those. Oh. There's some things where I don't take the time. I mean, I have
that's
I have
perfectly
fresh
acceptable.
Ground pepper. We have a pepper mill and everything else. So I don't know if. I mean, I don't use.
Well,
regular.
I think to your point, though, we've talked a lot about the fact that you eat with your eyes and your nose before you do with your mouth, and a lot of that flavor actually comes through the olfactories, where your nose and the aroma is influencing what you taste. For me, fresh ground black pepper has a really strong and beautifully intense aroma, which I think is maybe what fuels some of the perception of a fresher, more intense flavor. So maybe that's just that, you know, maybe if you use ground pepper, fresh ground pepper more frequently, the aroma would start to heighten the palate a little bit.
Well, that's all I use, and so maybe that's all I know.
I grew up in the Midwest where we didn't do a lot of fresh ground pepper. We used prepackaged grind.
I was going to say, even growing up there, I still use a pepper mill, and so maybe I just don't know the difference, other than maybe when I'm at a fast food restaurant and I'm opening up the little pepper pack and I'm putting it on my fries. But a pasta sauce, some like a garlic butter, a cream sauce, but with some really nice pepper notes in it, which would resonate with the herbaceous kinds of hop flavors or notes that I was talking about earlier. This beer still has enough carbonation and light body to help cleanse the palate as well, but then to play off on and or bring out some of those mushroom notes that you were talking about too. A nice, you know, using some really strong mushrooms too. I'm not talking.
No, you don't want button mushrooms. No, I definitely agree with you wanting something a little more exotic and intense in flavor, even like a cloud ear, you know, something that's really going to showcase I'm a mushroom and I'm not just some sub ingredient that's going to get blended into the mix here. Because especially if we're looking at a dish where the primary kind of ingredient, the primary meat item, if you will, like that's going to give you a meaty mouthfeel, is mushrooms, you're going to want that flavor to stand out on its own.
Mm-hmm. As this warms up a little bit, and it wasn't even that it was cold when it first came out, but the hop flavor is starting to change on me now, and it's starting to become more of what we piney, resiny kinds of.
A little bit, but there's also a dark orange for me, almost like the dark chocolate covered orange segments, or an orange coriander kind of mix, maybe even like a an orange liqueur aroma that's starting to showcase itself.
Well, I was as I was talking about this creamy, peppery, mushroomy kind of dish, pasta dish, I started to take another sidetrack was with curries, and a nice, I'm trying to think of,
I think of
what the dish is called. So an Indian curry where you've got kind of the bowl of the stew with the big chunks of meat.
Mm-hmm.
There's a nice heat with that. You can add some more heat into it as well, but the sweetness of the sauce that
I think you're onto something. Kind of I didn't, sauce. And I wouldn't have gotten this on my own. And you know, we always compliment each other when we come up with something that's really cool. A great yellow curry, even with a little bit of a coconut base, a little coconut milk, I think could really lift this beer up. And like you said, you can adjust the heat to your own liking, so that you're either bringing out more pepper notes and it's got a little more of a zing, or dumbing it down and letting some of the sweetness showcase a little more as it warms up. But a yellow curry or even a green curry, I think, is a great idea that I wouldn't have come across on my own.
Well, and just from taking from their website, they're talking about how they've used Simcoe. And Simcoe, for some people, I mean, it's a range. It ranges from bubblegum to cat pee. I mean, this is the range of people's perceptions of this hop when it's used, overused, or used correctly.
And I think cat pee and bubblegum are on either end of the spectrum, both not necessarily in a favorable way.
Right. But I'm starting to get some more of the tropical notes somewhere in between.
Which is where we want to be.
Bubblegum and cat pee. But I think your suggestion of a coconut, because I wasn't even thinking coconut. I was thinking more of a red sauce.
Oh, you're thinking red curry.
Right.
Okay.
And just because that's one of my favorite dishes. There's a curry restaurant here in Camarillo that I really, really like to go to. But that's usually what I get is one of their dishes that's in the stew kind of bowl, and I don't get the yellow. But a coconut with this will resonate with these tropical kinds of hop flavors as well, and I think a really nice compliment, adding another layer of the beer tropical notes, adding another layer of complexity to those to the coconut, you know, and to the dish. And that's really what you're always looking for too, is how can these two come together and make something that's new. And
sure,
I think that would be one way that you could do it.
And again, we're talking about St. Archer Brewery's Pale Ale, and this was provided by Village Commons Market here in Camarillo at 231 Village Commons Boulevard.
The Beer Cave.
The Beer Cave. We got to give our shouts out to the Beer Cave. And you can find all of St. Archer through their social media platforms at St. Archer Brew. This oatmeal raisin cookie, I've been smelling it for a couple of minutes, and I think I'm going to put it together. Hopefully it works. I know that the peanut butter cup peanut butter cookie was nice. It wasn't wowing me, but it was a good kind of base pairing. It wasn't anything that really sent me home, you know, to shout about. But I think the oatmeal raisin cookie, and we've talked about some of the just really foundational go-to pairings time and time again, oatmeal raisin cookie shines through almost every beer we've ever had.
Right.
So let's see how this works out.
Those do work well. Pale ales, I'm thinking more of a shortbread possibly for cookie-wise, something that's not, that won't overpower it, something that you'll still be able to taste the hops and the flavors, the malt flavors, but the raisin could certainly add to with the tropical notes of the hops.
Sure, and it's nice. It's not a bad pairing by any means, but I think you're right in terms of the shortbread, because the brown sugary cinnamon component of the cookie, it really, it brings out the piney, resiny aspects of the hops and the aroma more, but on the palate, it kind of thins the beer. It doesn't really allow the beer to be as strong as it could.
Right.
But it's still a nice pairing. I mean, I wouldn't turn it down if you put a plate of these cookies in the beer in front of me.
Yeah, who would turn down oatmeal raisin cookies? That's true. Well, yeah, and I think once we start getting into some of the... So we've got the IPA coming up and the double IPA. The double IPA, I'm really looking forward to tasting with the snickerdoodle and with the oatmeal raisin.
And I'm looking forward to the IPA, actually, with the lavender limoncello cookie with this great icing and the lemon zest. And these cookies, are from Sunflowers on the Square here in Ventura, California, with Nancy Peterson, owner, purveyor, or proprietor, if you will. A couple of things we want to make sure everybody gets out there, though. Again, we want your feedback because we're not the only people that have a perspective on beer and food, especially these beers. Some of you San Diegans probably have a better opportunity to...
Is that really what it is, San Diegans?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go all Ron Burgundy.
that's what I was wondering.
Probably are tasting these beers fresh off the tap on a more regular basis than we are. You may have some feedback. Use through all the social media platforms, hashtag pints and pairings, hashtag beer suggestion ears. Curtis just dribbled beer down the front of his warehouse shirt. That shows kind of where we're at this point in the broadcast. But also... we want to remember that we have some great opportunities for our sponsors. And one of the sponsors that's up and coming is Neptune Glassworks right down in Los Angeles, California. Yuri is a craftsman. He's a artist, and he's strategic with his engineering background in terms of the glass lighting installations and the glassware he's producing. We're excited to bring him on board. And in April, we're going to be debuting glassware. It's going to be distinct, and it's going to be exclusive to Pints and Pairings. So you'll be able to see the glassware on the show, debuting in April, but also you'll be able to get the glassware, and it's going to be only through Pints and Pairings. So stay tuned for that. I'm really excited to have Neptune Glassworks on board.
That's going to be fabulous. And I can't wait to work with him and figure out and collaborate and do all those fun artist things and just to figure out.
This is another great beer to just sit down and drink, though. You know, we've talked about some beers that you want to show off, and there's been a discussion lately as to bottle shares and measuring certain male anatomy based on the style of beer you're bringing.
It's all about how big a bottle you can get.
Exactly. This is a beer just sit on the couch with and watch a good movie, to have some kind of comfort food, some fries and a burger, as we talked about, or maybe some curry. Or something to just go out and kick around during the summertime. You don't have to feel pretentious about this beer. It's delicious and it's crisp, and it's from St. Archer, which is an up-and-coming brewery that you'll be able to find around the country not too long from now.
Well, and I'm really I'm glad that you brought up the pretentious thing, because the first beer we had, their blonde, was 4.5%, 4.2 maybe. This is 5.2, I think. So these are both really sessionable beers. Go to their website. This is a motley crew that they have assembled here. They're surfers, they're skateboarders, they're photographers, they're musicians, and they're there just to make beers that taste good.
And it tastes
and
great.
And have fun doing with
you
it.
You talked a little bit earlier, too, about kind of that bready aspect, and as it warms up, I think the biscuity component is coming out even more and more. I know we're toying with the idea of some beer brunches coming up in Barrelhouse 101, one of our great partners, especially with the Happy Hour, Joby and Curtis show that we do as our sister show, is going to be bringing a beer brunch together. This, I think, could be a really fun pairing with biscuits and gravy.
Oh, yeah.
The creamy aspect and the spicy, peppery.
The pepper.
Oh, I've seen
the white
thinking,
sauce. Yeah. It was everything that we just got done talking
about.
It
was, but in breakfast form.
It took us a while. It took us
And just
it took us 25 minutes, 24 minutes and 40 seconds to get to it, but we were there and we rounded
up
the show.
And just to make it stellar and over the top, put a fried egg on top of your biscuits and gravy, because
that
rich yolk of the egg is going to add a protein component that really rivals the protein aspects of the grains that were used to make this pale. Again, the sausage is going to give you pepper and spice, And both of those are going to resonate great back and forth. And then the biscuit aspect, they're just hand in hand. Who doesn't love a beer at breakfast?
I don't.
You do love beer breakfast. Shame on you. Read the script, Curtis.
Wait, where's it? Where's my teleprompter again? I missed that. I'm sorry. I
thought your
father-in-law. I
thought your father-in-law was going to hold up cue cards as a guest in the studio.
Well, I know. I tried to get in. Like, no, I'm not up for that tonight. But so, thanks for watching this episode of Pints and Pairings. It's been a pleasure for us to be here drinking beer and talking to you about our beers.
St. Archer Brewery, again, out of San Diego. Find them across all the social media platforms at St. Archer Brew. And again, co-hosting a beer and food pairing show takes a lot of foresight and planning, as I've been telling you. And part of that planning is getting home safe after the show. And I trust my ride and my car and me to we're driving here in Oxnard, California. If you're not in SoCal, find your favorite DD service for you. But if you are in SoCal, check out We're Driving at WeirdDriving.com. They get you and your car home safe. So you wake up in the morning, your car is there. And we want to remind you to enjoy your pints and pairing session with a plan, and that way we can see you at the next pour.
Fabulous. That is
it's getting better every time.
Wonderful.
But it's true.
And as always, I want, before we close out the show, remind everyone to eat, drink, and be happy.
Cheers.
Cheers.